Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, I'm so excited. It's almost Christmas time, and I think Santa might be coming any minute now.
Santa!
Oh, you're all right, Santa. Come in. We're just recording the pod shambles. Okay.
Have you... Hi, George.
Hi, Santa. I'm Laurie, but come and sit down and do a Christmas shambles with us.
The fire's going.
You can hear the
wind. I've trailed it all through the house.
Well, that's okay. What's that attached to your
leg? Can I sit down?
Would you want to brush off all the...
Oh, my piles are killing me.
Yeah, they're kind of spreading.
Hello.
Are you Santa? I don't have so much of a beard. It's just kind of... feces and blood smeared around your face.
It's not my blood.
Your feces.
The blood of the last child. Now, what is... Merry... What is it? Happy Christmas.
Santa. Christmas to you too.
How has your year been?
Really good. This is not what I expected. That's my cup of tea.
I'll have that. Thank
you. Okay, you can actually have that. You're dripping stuff.
It's too hot.
You're not what I expected when I wanted Santa for the pod sham. I paid a lot of money for you.
Paid too much. I'm not good at my job.
Because this is an absolute Christmas shambles. Welcome to a very Christmassy shambles indeed. I hope you're well and sitting comfortably by the fire. I'm just waiting for Paddy. He's gone missing yet again. Now, hopefully he'll turn up in a second. We've got lots of... Hello, Paddy? Oh, good. Santa's come back. He's just cocked up a small dog onto my carpet.
Oh, you thought I was just for the intro, didn't you?
What have you done with Paddy?
I went outside and came back in.
Yeah,
Paddy's dead.
Well, it's good to have
you. I shot him with my Christmas gun.
I'm sorry that I interrupted you earlier.
Oh, Laurie, it's a joy
to do.
It's a joy to
be... Are you spreading cheer and joy for all the girls and boys?
I've been spreading something, but I think it's catching whatever
it is. It's contagious.
It's fire. That's what I've been spreading.
Leprosy.
No, Laurie, it's been... What can I say? It's been such a year. It's been such a...
Hang on,
so
you just spat this on me.
I'll have that back. Yeah, that's lovely. Licking your warm, soft face.
Is that a whole soother?
That is an entire whole
packet of soul soothers.
Oh, they don't make them like they used to. Back in my day, they had opiates
yes.
in them. And now I just have to...
When was your day, Santa?
My day was Jolly St. Nick. Oh, 201 BC.
201,
but back then, of course, we just called it 201.
What do you mean? How do you know it's called 201, Santa?
Oh, I'm Christmas. I'm Father Christmas. I know all, and I see all. What you don't know about me is that I'm actually very ill.
I think I've just about got it.
So, Lawrence, how has your Christmas been
so far? It's been okay, but why don't I take off this beard?
I'm still him. I'm still Saint Laurent. Look, I've got so many things.
I thought that was going to be our Scooby-Doo moment, and you...
No, Scooby is dead. Yeah, so is the rest of the gang. They all went missing in a Christmas adventure that I...
It's not true. I carefully orchestrated.
They went to another abandoned shitting amusement park.
What do you want?
I've come to bring you all your presents.
Okay, what have you got for me?
Well, first, I've got you this half of a capybara.
Oh,
who
nice.
I hit with my sleigh on the way through Brazil.
That's going...
Okay.
I actually slapped when it hit the floor. It's so wet.
Oh, yeah. It's still alive. And what else have I got? I've got you this lead pipe.
Good.
It's like Cluedo.
Oh, that's got a lovely bit of, it looks like tetanus on there.
It has. It's rust from Excellent. My own.
Look, Sam, I think it's going to be best. Your own what? What were you going to say?
I don't know. My Christmas ass.
I think it's best if you fuck.
I
don't think the girls and boys want to hear you.
I've got a lot of kids.
Spread your pus
a lot,
everywhere.
A lot of people.
Don't go anywhere near the kids. Remember that restraining.
Oh, I know, but it's. Christmases are coming, and you know, I'm going to go. I'm going to go and. Oh, God, no, that's an age old joke. I've shit myself. No.
Goodbye, Santa. Take your Christmas pudding away.
Merry Christmas.
Take your horrible little Christmas bum pudding.
I'll be back on your birthday. It's Father's birthday.
Good.
Goodbye.
Hello.
Shoes.
Oh no!
I've got to take these shit. They've got bells on them and all.
It's a Christmas jingle. It's a Christmas jingle. Everyone's happy with the Christmas jingle. Little Chris jingle.
Santa's been sick on the carpet again. Finally, you made it, Paddy. I'm so excited.
It's holly and it is Christmas and all the Christmases in my bath. All my shoes are lined by the fireplace and the stockings are hanging low. And my balls are getting larger. Oh, my God, it's really bad.
Christmas,
buy me a sleigh. Buy me a motherfucking sleigh. Put me on the sleigh. Drive me to the moon. Presents for the kids.
Put your baubles away.
I know.
Back. I'm so glad you missed Saint Nick. He would have loved that song.
Oh, no, I've heard he is a great... character.
He wasn't wearing a single bit of red other than the blood smeared across his face.
Oh, he's so classic.
Not Christmas at all. How are you? Welcome back.
Oh, welcome back.
Merry Christmas!
This is our Pod Shambles Christmas.
We're recording this on Christmas Eve Eve. Right? About 2 days before. And you are almost spending Christmas with me again.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have to shove you out of the house just in time.
I am staying at your parents' house tonight. We're going out for dinner with your folks. It's just lovely. It's going to become a yearly tradition. It's just Christmas.
Yeah, but when there's going to be the inevitable time when, you know, you sleep with my wife or something. I'm going to have to. It's going to be awkward if we do that again.
Yeah, well, all.
Or is it going to be that you'll go to my parents and I'll go somewhere else?
No, I think you're going to grow up to have, like, grow up.
One day, I'm not going to get any taller. I'm fucking big enough as it is.
No, you'll have like a perfect family unit and you'll have like a beautiful wife and all these wonderful kids. And then every Christmas morning for the rest of your life, there'll be this bang at the door.
Hello!
And I fall in with my like torn ligaments and like, you know, being sick and all this.
No, hang on, you're not Saint Nick. I think you just turn up. You're dressed in quite a nice suit, but you're just unspeakably horrible.
Yeah, I'm really drunk and it's quite nasty.
Jimmy, have you ever seen your parents fuck? Because I have.
I have. Listen to them through the walls of our flat. Are you going to call one of your kids Timmy? Or am I just going to assume that?
Yeah, you're going to be like, Timmy, my name's Rufus. No, Timmy.
It's Jennifer. She's a girl.
Yeah. But it's very exciting. And God, I can't wait for Christmas to happen.
I know.
All the shoes, as you said in your song.
Yeah.
Can we wait?
No.
But we're going to have to.
Well, I think like every year I seem to get into the spirit of it later on. And I'm not a Scrooge by any means.
You take a bit of time to warm up to Christmas.
I love Christmas. But now that I'm busier and I work harder than I used to when I was younger, obviously. Like, it's now like...
Because now you work.
Like, I haven't yet keyed into it. Like, basically, in 2 hours when you and I go and meet your folks, that's when Christmas...
It's going to kick in. You're going to get like a big hit of Christmas heroin.
Yeah, exactly.
Knock your
When they're going to give me all the presents.
Well, I'm really sorry to say, mate, but I'm going to have to go out into town before the end of because haven't got your Christmas present yet.
Oh.
I all right, sorry. It's not going to be that thoughtful
that's
fuck you. What have you got me?
Oh, mate. I have got you. I'm not going to tell you.
Is it an ice cream scoop? Because I've been wanting one for so long. I've been going on about it for a long time. Me an ice cream scoop.
No.
Oh, what I wanted!
No, I can't. I can't say what I've got you.
Okay.
I really want to tell them what I've got you, but it is really...
Do you know what? Because you're editing this over Christmas, you could always put it in then. And then wouldn't know.
I've got to edit it tomorrow, so hang on.
So then I have to promise not to listen to it before I open my Christmas present.
Yeah, of course. I mean, okay, so what we're going to do now is... I'm going to say, you're going to say,
what have I got for Christmas, Paddy?
Well, Laurie, I got you...
a hardback copy of the Encyclopedia of Early Earth by Isabel Greenberg. And, check this out, a signed print from the latest issue of The Walking Dead... signed by Charlie Adlard, who's the artist, and I've got that framed in like a poplar frame, and it's like properly done up, and he has no idea.
Oh
yeah, just what you always wanted.
But
right?
I haven't unwrapped it, and I don't know what it is. But that sounds great.
Oh, it's going to be great.
I've never heard of one of those, and from China.
Do you reckon it's going to be that big?
Oh, hopefully small enough to fit in my back pocket.
Good.
Or my ass.
Good. Great. Well, I'm glad you like it. What have you got me?
Oh, well, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I've got to find out.
Oh, no, I can't then put in what you've got.
No, that's the thing. But, you know, luckily enough, I've been sent a really helpful little quiz for Christmas. And it's called...
A quiz for Christmas.
I mean, it's next door to Are You Bananas for Bananas, which is the quiz which I almost did.
Oh, we have to do
instead.
That.
Instead... it's not very festive, really. Bananas aren't the most festive of
fruit. I don't give a shit. I am bananas.
Yeah, that's
bananas.
The thing. You don't need to do it. Well, I found a little
bananas for bananas.
I found a little quiz on a slightly classier cousin to our good old friend Quiz Farm,
right?
Where they grow up little quizzes from root vegetables. Yeah, full grown Demi Lovato quizzes. And this is called. It's going to help me out enormously. What should you get your girl for Christmas? And I thought I could use it to work out what to get you because you're my. You're my girl, my gal pal.
Oh, I thought that was a stab at us both being crushingly lonely.
Oh, no. Now come to think of it, it is.
Oh, we always got each other.
We're going to have to pretend that we're buying stuff for our girlfriends and then just give it to each other.
But our girlfriends are sort of the spitting image of the other one of us. I am going to marry a bearded woman.
I love you, man. But if I married you... But
I'd make a quite attractive girl.
Yeah, it's not the attraction, mate. Don't worry. I could, you know, you'd be a great trophy wife. I just don't think I could cope with it. I say it'd be too similar.
Oh, and it'd be weird when I then show up at Christmas.
Yeah, and then it'd just be you and you. No, but like, because I'd need to...
Plus one of me's enough.
Basically, I need probably a woman who's going to tell me off when I do really silly things, right? Like, that's what you do. You kind of keep each other in check in a functioning relationship.
Yeah.
And I think if it was just you, you'd let me get up to all sorts of shit I shouldn't be doing.
That's probably true.
Sitting around in my pants playing Destiny and, you know... bum wanking myself with a beehive.
But she's too similar to me. I think I'd kill her.
Yeah, you get really jealous as well.
Yeah, no, I get really jealous and then I kill her and then I'd go to jail and then you'd be lonely.
And then I'd have not even my wife that's like you.
And I'd implicate you in the murder.
Anyway, what should I get my girl for Christmas?
Okay, alright, okay. Are you quizzing me? Is that... Or would you like me to quiz you?
Yeah, well, I kind of need to know what to get you, so you need to ask me the questions, I guess.
Okay.
Sorry, I've got this.
I'll ask you the questions.
Okay.
On the caveat that we do, if this quiz is quite short, we do a couple more, because I really want to know if I am truly bananas for bananas.
Bananas.
Okay.
Question one. Do you like bananas?
Do you like banana? How's that banana?
No, not really.
Mate, it's going to be great. Okay. Okay, this looks wonderful. With Christmas fast approaching, you may be confused about shopping for that special lady in your life.
That's me.
If so, take this quiz and let us do the shopping for you.
What, they do it for me?
Oh, is this going to be one of those things where it's like, hey, here's a link to the thing you should get? We'll see,
I really hope. All right. A big old sex toy in the end.
Sorry, that's my quiz voice.
Okay. Welcome to Quiz.
Which of the... Question one.
Mm-hmm.
Which of these
as
words...
Yeah, as is tradition.
Christmas tradition. Which of these words would best describe your girl's personality? It's multiple choice, okay? As always. Is it geeky?
Yeah.
Sleet?
No.
Feisty? Or spirited?
Spirited?
Or like drunk?
Like a horse?
Yeah.
Or spirited is a pity. I mean, geeky is what it's probably leaning towards, but I it's too easy for you.
Yeah, that's the thing.
So I'm going to go for feisty, because you've got a hell of a temper.
I've got a hell of a temper.
I don't think I've ever heard you raise your voice like at anyone who didn't really deserve it.
Mm.
And even then, only kind of indirectly anyway.
Yeah, I prefer backhanded comments.
You prefer really long-winded, psychologically damaging
exactly.
statements.
Stuff that takes 6 months to pull off, but is so worth it.
You're looking fat today, and just repeatedly over like months and months. Until
exactly, or like leaving onions in their clothes and stuff like that. Where they're like, oh, where are all these onions coming from? It was I!
Turn up at their door, dress as an onion with a knife, and jump out the window.
Me and my clever shallot gags. Anyway, right, are you going to go with feisty?
That's shallot.
That's shallot. I wonder how many times we've made that joke.
Too many.
All right, feisty. Option C. Okay. Next question. Okay, all right. What does your significant other do to stay in shape?
Oh.
Now, be tread carefully.
This might be a tricky question.
One, wanking. Two, more wanking. Okay. A, not much. It's her brain that I love.
But that's also implies not much. She's a fat old shit.
Yeah, and I hate her because of it. But I like her brain.
I guess her brain's okay. Because, God, that's the only thing I
care about. Yeah, not much. It's her brain that I love.
Wow.
She plays very aggressive sports.
Definitely not you.
Okay, energetic lovemaking is her favourite exercise.
Yes. Yes.
Dancing is her most rigorous activity. Or option E, yoga. Yoga.
Wow.
Pilates.
I think, you know, judging from my experience with you, it's a good old rag.
Good old rag. Energetic love.
Because there's no, you don't do any of the others of those ever.
We did have.
Unless aggressive sports includes like Smash Bros.
I did. This might be too personal, and feel free to tell me to cut this if you want. But we had a very funny conversation the other day with Chloe. Do you remember when we talked about how we'd all heard each other having sex?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because our flat is quite small.
And right? We were all the best of friends. So we were like, oh, I remember the other night when, like, and it was.
Don't say it like that.
It was last March.
I remember the other night when you guys tried anal for the first time.
God.
And I heard the little. And I remember thinking, yeah, that's not the conversation.
It wasn't that.
It was like we may have heard of each other like twice.
Yeah, it was like joshing, having a bit of fun. But Chloe was so uncomfortable with it. Because they've never had sex since, we know.
And they
don't have sex anymore, so, wow. Energetic lovemaking. Right.
Where are you going to go with that?
I don't know.
Just that was a conversation we had, and there's name check. You know, the girl who was really embarrassed by that conversation.
No, I just thought it was an interesting thing. I think that you need to have a close circle of friends that you can talk about sex with.
Oh, definitely
I think this is maybe quite, I don't mean this to be like a sombering aside, but I find that quite, we talked about that, how that's quite interesting.
Oh, we talk about our favourite little moves.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing, and people joke about sex all the time. We do as well, but it's really interesting when you actually sit down and have a conversation. You're like,
no, and it's, and so, it, you know, it's really,
sex.
It, yeah,
yeah.
And it, do you have those friends who you wouldn't maybe consider your absolute best friends, but you, for some reason you can talk about that kind of shit with them? Almost because they're too distant. You can be like, my favourite thing is that I like to be, you know, bummed by an amputee wearing a fish hook. And it's like,
of course, like Marilyn Manson.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, and Julia Sawala.
Question three.
Which of these subjects does she know the most about? Are we going to keep it as a she?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I think it's best for you.
A, it's math.
It's Beth from The Walking Dead.
That is Beth from The Walking Dead. Math.
Mouth.
B, history. C,
sports.
D,
music. E, cooking.
What happened?
Okay.
What was that progression?
It was maths, history, sports, music, cooking.
Cooking!
Okay, so let's rule out the ones it's not. Okay, number one, sports.
Yeah, you can safely
probably
rule out.
Not. I mean, you're pretty good at basketball as well.
Pretty good at basketball.
Pretty good at ball, but you've just been so out of action for so long, mate.
Yeah, man.
And you don't really, you know, it's not really one of your focuses.
Too busy building my file of facts.
Too busy double-handed wanking.
Yeah.
Cooking, like, you are really a lot better at cooking than you ever have been.
Yeah.
But I still wouldn't call you, like, that's not what you know the most about yet,
I can cook some things.
But absolutely.
I just don't.
Just choose not
I can
to.
Make a mean salmon and a great risotto.
You can make a mean salmon, you get a salmon, you rough him up a bit.
And I am king of breakfast, but I'm never up in time. So.
I don't think you've ever made me breakfast.
Oh, never at breakfast time. I've made you, like, bread.
You made me Brinner.
Yeah,
once.
I've made you Brinner a couple of times.
Maths, I think you're pretty good at. I have no reason
it's
to
one of
doubt
my strongest
that.
Subjects at school. And being awesome.
I remember you being quite good at maths and history, weirdly. Because we were in our wonderful history teacher, Dr. Zawalski. I don't know if you ever talked about
him. Yeah.
He was called Dr. Z, and he was a Polish, I think a transplant, but, you know, had lived in England a significantly long time. He was this wonderful bloke. He must have been in his 60s when he taught us.
Yeah, at least. And he had
this very, like, this kind of beautifully mottled grey beard and glasses.
He was like
very tall and imposing, wasn't he?
He'd teach at, like, the Magic University.
And
like Patrick Rothfuss novel.
Exactly.
Like.
And he said in our first lesson, he had this wonderful, booming, deep voice. Gentlemen, you may call me Dr. Zawalski or Dr. Zed.
Yeah.
And he was Dr. Z from then on.
Yeah.
And he was brilliant because he used to go off and he was so, so knowledgeable and these lessons were so dense and full of, especially about the gulags, gentlemen. Do you remember the gulags?
Yeah.
Yes, the purges started.
Oh, man, he was amazing.
And
he used to keep that bottle in his drawer that was Zbrovka Bison Grass Vodka. Do you remember?
I don't remember that, no.
He had a bottle of vodka that was overlooked by the rest of the staff. Yeah, he'd just take little sips of it, and it was that proper Bison Grass Vodka. With that. And
yeah, I know the one, yeah.
Oh, he was amazing.
What a man.
So I was good at history, thank you, thanks to him. And yeah. I think you were as well.
We had such a good time.
That was our first class together, I think.
I think it probably was. We were in G-Set 1 together, though, weren't we? Yeah. Oh, no, you, what did you say too?
Oh, I can't remember.
Oh, school remembrances.
School time.
I hated school.
Pass me another flan.
I hated kind of school.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think it's got to be music, hasn't it, really? I mean, I'd be hard-pressed to say that's not what you know the most about.
Yeah, exactly. That is my...
And look, she's having such a good time. She's wearing a lovely strappy red top, and she's holding her headphones with her fingertips and singing with her eyes closed, which is what I see you do all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like a bird, one of your way.
Yeah, exactly. Just to confirm, by the way, there are also pictures with the answers to the quiz.
Yeah, yeah.
We might not have mentioned
I'm trying not to let them influence my decision, but she does look an awful lot like...
Well, we're going with music. Okay, what are her favourite kinds of movies?
Okay.
A, musicals.
Yeah, musicals, go. That's definitely your favourite.
B, science fiction or fantasy.
Musicals.
C, action thriller.
Action thriller, musicals.
D, romantic comedies.
Romantic comedy musicals are your favourite.
Oh, they are fantastic, aren't they? 5. Historical dramas.
Historical drama musical. Do you remember how much you loved Wolf Hall on Ice?
I hate musicals. I hate them.
King Henry VIII is coming.
It's just everything. It's just, oh, Patrick, where have you been? Dun, dun, dun.
I've been down the supermarket buying some cheese.
Oh, you have another song, do you? I'm so fucking excited.
Where is cheese? Yeah, oh, it's just, God. No one sings.
I mean,
fuck
you must
off.
Instantly know the true answer to this one.
It's rom-com.
Oh, come on.
A rom-com.
I'm not a rom-com.
You're not a rom-com. Your favourite thing is 50 First Dates, number one. Then it's
great movie.
Miss Congeniality.
Gag. Yeah, great.
Legally Blonde.
Can she be Miss Universe, whatever it is? Legally Blonde. Oh, she's a lawyer. What? You know.
Woman lawyer. Ooh. No, it's got to be Sci-Fi Fans.
Sci-Fi Fans. That is.
We watched an excellent film the other night, didn't we? Part of our kind of Christmas program.
Snowpiercer.
How good is that? It's a mad film.
It's so good.
It's based on a French graphic novel, and the name, it's called like...
Le Transmogrifique or something like that.
Le Trans...
Triontage.
Transniège or something, isn't it? It's like,
I'm making...
Yeah, but it's about... The film is directed by a Korean director. The name escapes me, but it's very...
He directed The Host.
Yeah, and it's that same kind of style. Really quite crazy,
amazing.
Really violent. And it's about a train that's the only, as far as you know, got the only surviving humans on it in the world, because the world's been frozen by some crazy chemical problem.
Climate change.
They've had a problem.
Yeah.
There's a chemical there.
Well, it's a chemical that they release... Because of climate change, they do,
and it's and the train is like it's got Chris Evans in it, it's got Jamie Bell, it's got Tilda Swinton's wicked cast.
It's amazing. It's got
a couple of really cool Korean actors.
Yeah,
and it's the train. The back of the train has got all the kind of underclass who are let on.
This train is like miles long.
The cast is miles long, and then as you go further and further up the train, it gets more and more fancy, and the kind of upper class people live on end.
And they've built like an ecosystem inside the train.
And it's just this mad kind of martial artsy, violent. Action, but really comic book. It's really good.
So do check that out. It's on American Netflix.
Which we might have to use a little bit of software to get on.
Yes, you might have to hide your proxy.
All good VHS outputs.
Science fiction and fantasy. Is
that
you
liked that
with?
One, didn't you?
Brilliant.
That was
all right. Brilliant. Okay. What kind of pet would she most like to have?
I know this.
A. Cat. B. Tiny dog.
Tiny dog. Oh, yo.
C. Big dog.
Oh, big dog on campus. What's that?
That's been preparing in anticipation for having a big dog.
I don't know if that's going to be the one,
mate. D. A snake.
Which you'd probably enjoy.
To an extent. I've never really got... Like, I find snakes quite scary. It's the one of the things that, like I've had a couple of friends who have snakes, and I just find them a bit unnerving.
Do you know what? It's just because you're like, you give off this image of being such a fucking macho, bike-riding man.
Me?
I don't give that I just think you'd have loads of, like, scorpions and snakes.
I trip
and
over
fucking lizards up your ass.
Like, I'm not cool. Like,
oh, yeah, but that's why you need a snake to be more cool. And what's the last one?
An exotic bird.
I know! Ooh! Like, if you had a fucking huge bird of paradise left on your shoulders,
I wouldn't have an exotic bird. Yeah. I'd have, like, a gull.
I think something that should not
be kept as a pet. And isn't aware that it's a pet.
That's what I mean. You'd have this crazy, loud, enormous bird. not necessarily beautiful, but just like it's got like three horns
and it's always just grabbing fish from people.
And it only eats like gammon. And
oh yeah, is that? And I just and I every throw time him in the air.
You throw burgers to him.
Oh wow,
it's got to be big dog. Hasn't
I mean, it's
it?
Got to be big dog. Big dog. I can't big wolf wait dog. To have a big wolf dog. Can you imagine a big fucking wolf dog?
If you, do you know what? If we ever run a Kickstarter, which I don't think we ever need to, because we, you know, we don't need to get money from this. If we did. The only target in there is like 20 grand and it's just
we'll
big,
buy a
big
dog.
Dog.
Big dog. Yeah, big dog.
We'll and he'll appear in the podcast. Pictures.
He'll appear in every podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, question six. You tell her you'd like to take her dancing spontaneously on a Friday night.
We've done that once.
Yeah, exactly.
And it went
and
awfully.
It went so badly. Like, not even nearly successful.
I don't think we had even one step of a dance.
We convinced ourselves we could be like the cool guys.
Well,
but then we realised they weren't the cool guys. And neither were we.
Sharking for chicks on the...
God. On the hitting the town.
Oh, fucking God. Oh, wow.
What is her likely reply?
Okay.
Okay. No thanks, I'd rather stay home.
Yeah, props.
How about if we have a romantic dinner for two instead?
That means dinner, then a fuck.
That, well, that, the, in our context, that means, hey, could do that. Or you could cook dinner. C. Sounds great. Let's go.
I don't think I've ever heard those four words. In
four. I have something more fun we can do alone.
Borderlands.
Or E.
Compare that theories about Game of Thrones.
Yeah, exactly. Or E.
We could do a quiz.
This one sort of ties in with that, but I think it's meant in a wrong way. E. Let's stay in and watch the game instead.
Which we do.
Which literally means watch Yogscast.
Which
because they
we
are
do.
Playing a game.
You are most likely to. I think you're actually most likely to say, how about we stay in and have a romantic dinner for two instead? I think that's the most.
You know what? That is.
Because that will be the centre for any other activity.
Yeah,
that will be prime activity.
How about we go for a beer and then we'll spend the money we would have spent going out dancing.
On oysters.
Like a prick. On oysters, which I don't eat. I've had oysters once. And I don't get what all the fuss is about.
Got the big horn though, didn't you?
I just
started
fucking
the waiter there in the waiter.
No,
so it's been a very sexually aggressive show.
I know.
Show
I'm
so
really
far.
Sorry. No, like
I'm just sorry. I'm the
no,
one.
No, I got given oysters in Harrods because I was with a person who had a Harrods Gold card.
Fucking hell, who
was
that?
I'm not going to say because I don't want to embarrass them.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, you know
it
who
was,
it is.
Claudia Schiffer.
It was Claudia Schiffer. Yeah. Me and Claudia go way back. We used to just hang out. but yeah, like he showed his gold card at one of the like the food hall things, and they were like, "Oh, right this way, sir." And they gave us champagne and oysters.
Fucking hell!
Like, and we were like skanky 17-year-olds. Like, it was, oh man,
what a day!
So I think, I think
skanky
you're
oysters with a skanky
romantic
patty.
Dinner for two instead. Brilliant. Next question. How would you describe the way she dresses? Okay. A. Like a girl?
Question mark?
With a question
mark? I don't know. I understand that because I'm saying like, I don't know. I'm a man. She dresses like a girl. She's got tits.
Yeah. Mm. Whoa. I don't care.
Yeah.
B. Like a diva.
You do dress like Dame Shirley Bassey.
Yeah, I know. I really like Shirley
I'm
Bassey.
I'm ready for da da.
C. Like a tomboy.
I mean, by default, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose. Or D, stylish but comfy. I'm not really stylish.
No, do you know when you are? You
I dress comfy.
Like, and you do dress stylish. It's not like, oh, I'm styling cool. But like, you have a style, and it's quite. I quite enjoy
it. Unique to you.
It's no, but it's. I mean, you know, not to make you feel like not individual, but you kind of dress quite 90s grungily with your hat
sort
and
of
your
budget
jeans
Stone Gossamer Mike McCready.
Yeah, which is. Just kind of like how I half dress.
Yeah, exactly.
Half
yeah, we actually
like
are very similar.
Shoreditch hipster as well.
That's the thing. You've got stuff that fits you quite nice.
Yeah,
like you've got all that like kind of, and you've got those jackets. What are they called? The jackets.
The jackets.
Like, they're waterproof for
wax
one.
Jacket.
A wax jacket.
Yeah.
Like it's like a kind of shooting coat. That's whereas all my coats are just. How long can I find?
How long can you go?
Like exactly. Okay. What
so
do you
I'd say I reckon like a tomboy though, because
like
you are you actually that's very good because you dress like if a girl was described as a tomboy, she would wear what you
that
wearing.
Is true.
She'd wear a beanie and a check shirt and jeans.
Yeah,
and
yeah. And people go, oh, she's such a tomboy, but actually that is how I dress. Okay, like a tomboy. Let's go for it, man.
Like a tomboy. Beanie for the very first time.
Nice. 8. How would you describe her hairstyle? Tread carefully, Laurie. Nothing fancy. Elegant, like a movie star.
No.
Long and sexy.
Yeah.
Or short and simple.
It's definitely not
just
short and
like
simple.
You.
Oh, I'm short and simple.
I mean, come on.
Nothing fancy, no, because it's pretty fucking fancy. It's definitely long and sexy.
It's definitely long and sexy. And just, you know, I'm with you on that.
If I saw your as
that is my one redeeming feature.
If I saw a tomboy with your hair, I would be all over that.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, though, you don't have you know, the requisite parts.
9. How does she feel about technology?
A. She's a whiz.
You didn't say that properly. It's a whiz.
Whiz. She's a whiz. She's a whiz. B. Not her whing.
No, that's no.
D. No, C. Her only whinterest is her whypod.
No, what's a whypod?
Or D. Whee's what whooper into whoo whack, but whee can hold her whone if needs whee.
She's not super into New Tab, but she can hold her own if you need be. In English.
Well translated, Lawrence.
Not Welsh.
Welsh.
This is quite a sexist answer here, right? Because you can't actually say... But she's a whiz, or it's not her thing. There's not really like a lot of middle ground, is there? She's a nerd.
Hold her own if new
bit. I mean, you're a bit of a...
This question sort of says, like, well, you clearly know everything about technology because you're a guy.
Yeah. Well, can you rate her? Like, because you're somewhere in the middle. I wouldn't say that you're an utter like tech whiz, right? You're not like.
I'm not a whiz, but I'm pretty. You enjoy hands.
But also, like most of us our age, like can use a computer convincingly, right?
Yeah, we're whizzes.
I'd say, yeah. I don't know.
This is, after all,
maybe
a quiz.
Maybe it's the last one. Maybe she's
a quiz. Whiz. I am a quiz at these quizzes.
Quiz, 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 quiz. Anyway, I think you're not super into new tech, but can hold your own if need be. Because I don't think you buy all the latest
that
shit.
That,
you don't have
actually,
like an iPad
absolutely true.
And a bum scanner, and yeah. Like you know, you wouldn't get.
And I really
glass.
Like my old tech. Not
you've
sort
got
of,
your
I
big
like
fat
Discman,
old iPod.
But, like, I've got my
yeah.
Really old iPod just because it's the biggest iPod.
Did you see they're now selling for double the price that they were new because they've discontinued them.
Oh, really?
Anyone who's got a new one. So I've got my broken one. I might try and fix it.
Oh, man. Hello. Well,
ka-ching!
Okay. Not super in, but can hold her own if needs be. Yeah. Sweet.
You can hold her own dick, more like.
How does she use makeup? A. She's good at making herself look beautiful.
Aww.
I'm not enjoying these answers. B. She's too shy to use much of
it. That's the only reason you don't.
C. She rarely uses it. Mm-hmm. Or D. She loves making herself up into a zombie.
Oh, fucking makeup addict,
yeah,
prick.
Yeah, whoa. Okay, so what do you reckon about my...
You're too shy to use much. It's exactly that. It's spot on. You tried to put on some lippy once. And you're like, no, I can't possibly go out like this. People think I'm just so bloody...
The world's not ready.
Oh, okay, we've got the answer. What's the answer? What's the answer? What's that
you should get your girl a naughty negligee.
Yes, I knew it!
A negligee?
Yes!
Okay,
oh,
hang on. There's
perfect.
A little descriptive bit as well. Your girl has a great body.
How do
don't
you
know where I got that from. Don't know, no idea. And enough sexual energy, fine, to heat your home... Through winter.
Not true.
Trust us, she'll be happy to show her appreciation. Fucking hell. It's just, get her up sex thing.
And then she'll bang you.
Yeah, because then banging.
And and lower energy costs too, mind. Thrifty bang.
I might get Falcon Vendetta to post that on Twitter. I'll email him about
okay.
it. All right, sweet. Well, that was...
A wonderful waste of time.
Little quiz. Now you have to come good on your end of the
bet. Okay, give us a tick and we'll work out who's bananas for bananas.
Oh, what's over there? Look, everyone! Children, come to the window! It couldn't be! Is it? I think someone's brought us a
It's nutter. Christmas! Yeah!
I ruined it, didn't I?
Now, I was recently on the brave island of Jersey.
Oh, the brave? Why brave?
Oh, because, he's had a tough time, hasn't he?
No.
The Jerseyman.
It's a tax haven, they've got good cows.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's, you know, far away from the UK, it's got an autonomous government. Oh, he's had quite an easy time.
Well, no, I mean, they've been ravaged by warfare.
Really?
They? Yeah, weren't they, like, kind of a stronghold that the British and the French, like, kind of fought over and...
Right, when we're into serious, Paddy.
Anyway.
This is a comedy thing!
No, sorry, I was on the island of Jersey, and basically, I was with 4 other comics, and we had a show there, and then we stayed there all weekend, and it was lovely. And we went walking down by the beaches of Jersey, we were like walked into the sea together. It was really sweet. And then
one killed yourself
all in full suits and briefcases,
and left your old lives behind.
Yeah, exactly. We just agreed this was the end. We were playing a game out there that I'd completely forgotten about.
Okay,
that I thought I'd tell you about because it's a really
was it
fun
Bugger the Bishop.
It's called Bugger the Bishop.
Oh,
amazing. Who can Bugger the Bishop?
Quickest.
Who can do it first? Who can, no.
Oh, I've done.
It's called the sitcom game, and okay. I know that's a really boring name for a game. Basically, the premise of the game is one of you mentions, it's quite a sort of wanky comedy
It's
game.
A comedy thing.
It is kind
oh,
of a comedy
good.
Game. So one of you says a sentence or a couple of words that could be the name of a sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
You totally make up. Right?
Okay.
And then the other comics between them have to come up with like the premise,
okay.
who acts in it, when okay. it's set, where, everything, and the hook, right? And what the hook is and okay. why it'll sell.
Okay.
So basically I figured we should play that game because I fucking love that game.
Oh, I bet you did. And it's you wanky kind of, comedy type.
The kind of thing that you'd really enjoy because you're a wanky comedy
what
type.
What if I try not to enjoy it actively?
Do you
What if I try really hard to have a bad time?
Well, I mean, you
what
could.
If I stab myself with a pen throughout just to ensure I have a shit time?
I mean, you could, but that would be a waste of resources.
I'd have a great... who Do you, goes first?
Well, that's what, I was thinking, why don't you give a title first?
Oh, I saw, oh God, okay. All the pressure on me.
Well, if you give a title, and then I'll do a sort of explanation. Okay. And, okay. And then you can join in whenever you
so,
want.
So,
okay?
Do you mean something like... okay, what about... A Rolling Stone gathers no floss.
Okay, no, that's
great.
Is that
great.
Good? Yeah,
that
yeah
good?
It like, okay. contains a pun. Like, okay.
okay.
All right, okay.
I mean, a pun. Right. That's a very mild
okay.
way of putting
it. All right, so here we go. Thomas Stone
mm-hmm.
is a runaway dentist.
Okay.
Okay, right.
He's a Rolling Stone.
Fugitive, yeah, he's Rolling Stone, right. Fugitive dentist because he was involved in a scandal
okay.
whereby he gave someone too many teeth. Right? Too many teeth. Like, way too
okay,
many.
Okay.
Not even in their mouth.
Just like all
he
over
He put
their
them
face.
Under to give them, like, a wisdom tooth operation, and he just started fucking shoving
okay.
teeth in there.
I don't
he,
think that's, dentists no. have the ability to do that.
So he,
but,
goes,
okay.
he goes on the run, right? And okay. he's got, like, his little... He's got a little... Right, what he's got is, like, a little knapsack, but on the end of it is, like, a little handkerchief that's filled with all of his little dentistry
yeah,
tools.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes from town to town, right, like, fixing people's teeth in exchange for, kind of, like, board and room.
Okay, right? When's it set?
It's
because
set,
I think
no, it's set
that
in like,
couldn't
it's set
work
in like,
now.
No, no, it's set in like the late 50s.
Oh, great. Okay, so it's all like kind of he's quite cheeky and it's,
yeah, and it's English countryside
okay.
kind of heat, but he's from
like
the big city,
board housewives and stuff.
Exactly.
And he gets a bit. Oh no, I don't know what to do.
Exactly, and but and everyone wants to see the dentist.
Oh,
know,
I see
coming,
the
Thomas
sexy
Stone.
New dentist from London.
And he's obviously played by Richard Ayoade.
Like, well, I don't know what I'm doing
exactly.
in this situation.
And he starts
well,
to realise
okay, yeah.
that actually. He, like, through meeting all these different people, he starts to see the error of his ways. Like, that's sort of the end,
putting loads of
the
teeth
end
in
of season one is he maybe falls in love with another dentist.
Flossie.
But he can't...
Flossie.
Flossie. There we go. See, this is what I'm talking about.
Or what about the dog's called Flossie?
He
finds
has a dog.
He finds a dog, a lovable
but
dog.
But how would he
Flossie's
gather
a
no
good
floss?
Name. Because he's rolled, because he realises that in order to, maybe, okay, maybe it's the girl, maybe he realises that he has to settle down and move in with Flossie. So a Rolling Stone gathers no more.
And then
floss.
Season two can be him living with Flossie.
So it's the season two is called A Steady
And she's
stone.
A hygienist.
Oh,
so they have a sort of lovable...
And then they have, and then it's a, you know, a good old
Who
fashioned,
plays Flossie?
Who plays Flossie?
Julia Sawala.
I don't actually know who that is at all.
She was in Ab Fab.
Oh, you're the daughter in
Yeah,
Ab
yeah,
Fab.
She plays
oh, okay.
Saffron.
Saffy.
Saffy. Yeah, it's Julia Sawala. And the dog... Is
you can talk.
No, is played by Ronnie Corbett.
Oh, I don't agree. With
is that
at all.
In a dog costume? Yeah. And it's never mentioned. But he,
well, he's in like
he's
like Wilfred
cracking.
In yeah. a full like with his head out, but otherwise in a dog costume.
He's very small.
Oh, that's a great hook.
So that would be a Rolling Stone gathers.
I had
floss.
In mind. I mean, I don't want to.
No,
know.
No, no. Now give me your idea.
Okay.
That's what this is all about.
Oh, so I do it as well.
Well, no, you can. I'm
well,
not
no, but mine's
successful.
Really not sketched out. But mine was just Mick, pretty much quite similar. Mick Jagger on the run. As a rogue dentist, but he's a Rolling Stone.
I just went with Thomas
but he,
Stone.
But it's more that he like he just consistently fucks up as a dentist assistant because he never has any floss.
Yeah, and also like he doesn't know what he's doing.
No, he's
Mick Jagger.
He's Mick Jagger.
He's a
he
singer.
Just pouts and goes,
and he's really good.
I'm a man.
Yeah, exactly. But he keeps and gigs keep getting
yeah,
in the way.
Yeah.
Like he's met. I'm basically on
in
stage
floss.
In 5 minutes,
yeah, but
there's
he's
a patient
doing a golden crown.
Brilliant.
Okay, go on, give me one.
Right,
I like
okay.
this.
I'm gonna give you one. Okay. Okay, all right. Now, this one includes punctuation, and that's a big part of it. Okay.
Okay.
It's called
wow.
Boy, That Smarts. Okay,
oh,
it's boy,
comma,
that smarts, exclamation mark.
That's...
Boy, that
I
smarts.
I don't think that works for a sitcom pun type. I'm going to go for it anyway.
No, it does.
Okay. So,
Boy, That Smarts.
Boy, That Smarts. Okay. Ellen Page...
Okay.
Is a transfer student to a posh boarding school in kind of Middle England.
Okay,
it's set contemporaneously.
Okay,
but it's not the kind of St. Trinian's like anarchic thing.
Yeah.
It's a very backwards.
Like stone.
Like, yeah, like incredibly fusty.
Yeah.
And she goes then, her, maybe it's a very sad start, like, you know, her dad dies and it's only been her dad bringing her up. And in his will, it says, look, I always wanted for you to have good schooling, so I've put loads of money aside for you to go to the famous Abingdon Boys like School.
Her dad is Andrew Lincoln.
her dad is Andrew Lincoln, who's been killed by the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, of course.
And you go, okay, Dad, I'll sure go over. You know, in a little Ellen Page way. And she gets there and realises, maybe it is Abingdon, and you realise that Dad signed her up for an all-boys school.
Oh, no.
And that she, the hook is that she is pretending to be an English rugby bugger. But maybe she's still the American transfer student at this boys' school.
Yeah.
But the thing is, she's way cleverer than the rest of them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the amount of work she has to go through to look like a man every day involves like putting on like fake beard and like a full beard, and it really hurts every day. So every day she comes home and something. So in the first episode, it's her taking off his prosthetic beard and going, "Oh boy, that's smart." Every episode she gets into a scrape. She comes home and she sees the kindly old housekeeper who's played by Robin Williams as Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah.
And you go, "Oh, what did you get off to today, lassie?" And she goes, "Boy, that's smart." And she like, and she's like got a swollen bum.
So then it goes a bit cheeky chaffy.
Yeah, like, but when she's there, it's quite a kind of gritty thing about how
cop
she's...
drama.
Not cop drama, no. It's about her at an all-boys school realising that, you know, Britain's producing horrible, sexist men.
Yeah.
And she can't do anything about it, and she's constantly in problems because she wants to speak out about that.
Maybe she falls in love.
Yeah, with one of...
With
Michael Sarah, aren't they? And then she gets pregnant and has to hide being pregnant. Why is Michael Sarah at, like, a posh boys' school?
Well, that's the thing. He's, like, the awkward boy who doesn't fit in with all the, like, rugby buggers or whatever.
Okay, yeah.
And, like, all the rowers.
But she somehow is, A, really clever, and B, also, like, a great hooker.
Yeah. But maybe because Michael Sarah's gay... they fall in love, but then, boy, that's smart, because it turns out she's a woman, and he has to reassess his sexuality, and she, if anything, has to reassess hers.
That's a great little bit.
Right, so, because okay. I was thinking cheeky-chappy from the start.
Yeah, well, but I think there's an element of cheeky-chappy, but it's actually got quite a grim undertone.
Yeah, exactly. I was imagining Ronnie Corbett, again, right, and he's dressed up in, like a tiny schoolboy's outfit. And that's the, and he's maybe kept by Ronnie Barker.
Oh, but he's, but everyone knows he's an adult, but he's, but like, he's been kept back at school.
They have to keep up the pretense that he's...
well, just to fuel his little...
And every time he gets told off by the teacher, who's, you know, 20 years younger than him, he goes, "Boy, that's smart."
Oh, nice. Like, that kind of like, oh, that's much better.
No, I like... tell I, the I like the whole Juno thing.
Yeah, I know, it's just a bit twee.
All right, okay, hit me with another. Do you think this is a fun game?
This is really fun. Okay, I've got a couple of really good ones. Okay, this is one where there might be a suggestion of the casting in the title, if you're ready.
Okay.
Caught between... The Rock and a Hard Place. Caught between The Rock and a Hard Place.
Okay.
Who do you think might star in that?
Okay, right. Okay, check this out.
Uncle Steve Austin.
Check this out. This is going to be fucking fantastic. Go. Okay, Michael Fassbender.
No!
Listen.
Where's Dwayne?
Michael Fassbender is straight out of college.
Okay.
Okay, he's
the Great White Hope. He's the fresh young thing.
Yeah, exactly. Fassbender in the early stages.
Yeah, young Fassbender.
Yeah, so young Fassbender.
Pre-cock reveal Fassbender.
And it's set in Germany, right?
Okay.
And he's just come out of like a technical college. Like, he's very good at engineering.
Is this like...
Yeah, this is modern. Yeah. This is set in sort of... the late 90s.
Okay.
And
post.com boom.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So Fassbender's come out and, like, he's engineering. Maybe he's computer science.
Yeah.
And they're on the verge of this kind of massive, you know, like the internet is about to massively take off.
Artificial intelligence.
Right. But...
maybe.
Here's the thing, right? What... His mum's dead.
His mum is the Rock.
His mum is the Rock. No, his mum's dead, right? His dad's still alive.
Okay.
And his dad... does not want him to go into this internet business.
Oh, I know where this is going.
No, his dad, famous fisherman, right?
He's a famous
fisherman who runs a fish and chip shop, like Rick Stein's.
Oh, right? No, I thought you were saying like frozen fish.
Yeah, no. Check this out. And basically, his dad is famous because he also casts his own bronzes.
Okay, good.
Right. And the casting above his shop sign is a cast place.
Okay, the hard right. place.
Okay, and his dad decides, I don't want you messing with any of this instant stuff. You're going to run the family business and become a fisherman.
Okay.
Right. And Fassbender is torn because he's sort of started this startup business with his friends going into a .com.
Okay, but like Facebook boys.
Exactly. Okay. But his dad draws away to become a fisherman. But that's when Fassbender realises that his real dream, he's been running away from his whole life, is he wants to be a wrestler.
Oh, excellently
right,
done.
Okay, but okay. He hides that because he has all these expectations from the fish shop and from his college.
I reckon this would be really amazing if it was set in Germany.
Yeah.
And like quite a kooky, like what's the one that your man from the IT crowd does? Like that one, the one set in Ireland. Moon Boy. Quite like that, quite like whimsical.
Exactly.
Okay.
So basically he really wants to be a wrestler, but he holds this back and you only see it in certain glimpses. Maybe he gets into a fight at school and you see him do this amazing thing that everyone goes, whoa, and
he does a stone cold stunner.
Yeah,
people's elbow.
He looks down at his hands. Right, and then, right, what so one day, he's out on the fishing boat with his dad, okay.
And he triple suplexes
and,
at Marlin.
And his dad's got his scuba gear on, right, because his dad's going for deep sea fish.
Okay,
right. His dad says, you look after the boat.
Deep sea fish
right.
in a lake.
Yeah, okay, yeah, deep sea fish in a lake. Right. His dad says, you look after the boat, and he dives in, okay, goes down the bottom, and the bubbles are coming up or whatever. Fassbender sat there with his fishing rod, and all these thoughts are going through his head. And then, this little boat comes up next to him, and sat on it, is Dwayne Johnson.
Dwayne Johnson!
Who,
with one cocked eyebrow.
Yeah, exactly. Who looks at him, and he doesn't know if he's... And he goes like, you fishing boy? Or something like that. And he's
caught.
Yeah. And The Rock is like, you see, I'm in a bit of trouble. I don't wanna...
I need a wrestler.
Yeah, no. The Rock is like, I don't know how to... I'm in a bit of trouble, you see. I think that's The Rock's voice.
He's nice.
I'm in a little bit of trouble here, see. I'm trying to catch me some fish. But I don't know hell how to do it. And hell how ninny.
Hell ninny, I crush these fishadies here.
And Michael Fassbender says, well, I can help you with that. I can help you with that. For some reason, then, like the Rock is fishing in Germany. We have to make an assumption here.
Near Dusseldorf.
He helps the Rock fish.
Okay.
Right, and then the Rock says, hey, do you know anything about that there internet? Right. And he goes, well, actually, yeah. And he goes, we're trying to start out.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Up at www.wwe.gov.uk. And he's trying to set up this website, and he says, well, I can help you. And The Rock gives him his card, right? Just at that moment, his dad comes up. And his dad he's holding all these fish, but he's in diving kit.
Have you ever been fishing, Paddy?
Yeah, many times. And he's batting them on the side of the boat, you know, all this kind of shit. And he's like, boy, you are going to have to choose whether you take the wrestling life or the fisherman's life. And he's literally caught in between
The Rock
and a hard place.
Okay, I see what you've
and
done
there. And he tries
there.
To do both, right?
And ends up people's
and
elbowing
he starts,
his
he
mark.
Starts mixing them up at work. So there's
they bring
the shots
his
of him in the wrestling ring, right?
With a little
because The
hat.
Rock eventually he progresses from designing the Rock's website to a wrestler,
being the understudy.
Like the understudy, exactly. And he's in the ring, but he's
the
frying
pebble.
Fish.
He's called the Pebble.
He's frying fish, and someone goes, "What?
Do you miss that? He's called the Pebble.
The Pebble. He's called the Pebble. Very well done." And he's frying fish, and then suddenly he's in the fish shop, and a customer comes in and is like, "Hey, can I get me some Rock fish?" And he just fucking moonsaults him. So that's between a rock and a hard place.
That's very good.
And there you go. Well,
that's very good.
All right, I've got some more for you.
My very brief, by the way, synopsis of that one.
Okay, hit me. What was yours?
Someone goes on a hiking holiday with the Rock.
Right.
And they fall down a cavern, much like the film 27 Hours.
127 Hours. Amazing.
And they get literally caught between the Rock
and he's up top going,
and the Rock.
Is there any way I can help you?
The Rock is literally like wedged him in down the hole.
Oh, and they become unlikely friends.
But they become unlikely friends, but it ends with them both dying.
It's Michael Cera.
No.
And the Rock is also played by Michael Cera. Okay,
wow.
Right, here's one for you. Okay, this one's going to be pretty obvious.
Okay.
This one's called Happy Go Clucky.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay, I've got this one instantly.
Okay.
Adam Sandler.
Yes!
Starred in his first feature-length film for many years.
Okay.
Well, like 6 months.
Yeah.
And it's... it's a sequel to Happy Gilmore 2.
Okay.
And it's... And he... I don't need to tell you, do I? And
no, come on. Happy Go Clucky. What is he doing?
So one day he's playing golf, as Happy does, but in his suitably cavalier manner.
Yeah.
And still the guy going, "Hey, Happy! You jackass!
You, you jackass!"
And as he shouts that, Happy skews one off. I can't do an Adam Sandler voice. Skews one off, and it goes over one of the hedges, and it hits in the head this huge, wealthy Texan. I see. And he goes, "Ooh, I see." And just hits him in the head, and falls over
away. I thought he was going to hit a chicken.
No. Hits this wealthy businessman of somebody.
Okay, yeah.
And Adam's
white suit.
Exactly.
Like big
10-gallon hat.
Yeah, 10-gallon hat.
Guns, inexplicably, on the golf course.
Ooh,
not even playing golf. He's just jumping and clicking his heels.
Kicking his heels and firing guns.
Yeah, woohoo! And Happy comes over and he goes, "Oh my God, sir, are you okay?
Gee Willikers.
Oh my geez." And he turns him over and he's just dead. Like, there's a massive hole in his head and he's just died.
Oh.
And he's like, What do I do? Oh geez. And in a fit of complete idiocy, just puts on all the stuff, dresses up as the thing, throws away his golf clubs, and he goes to all his pockets and he's like, and he runs away from the police, dresses as the prospector, and finally sits on the bench. "Well, I got out of there.
Gee whiz.
And he phones his mum, goes, "Mom, listen, I'm not going to come home tonight.
Really good Adam Sandler impression.
I've got something else to do." And he goes to all his pockets and he finds like his car keys and his wallet.
Yeah.
And eventually he unfurls this big scroll that's in the goes, and it's the deeds. Call back to another ensemble from the deeds to the guy's chicken farm in like Idaho.
The guy is called like Robbie Cluck.
The guy calls Captain Cluck.
Captain
Cluck's crazy coop is the place.
Captain Cluck's crazy coop.
And he unveils a document, and in the bottom, in tiny script, it reads, "If in the unfortunate incident of my death, I do declare that the entire ownership of my farm and all the little chickadees on it will pass to the man who slays me in single combat."
Well, I guess that means me.
Well, gee, I guess I've got to go take care of the farm now. And then there's a short, like, lawyer montage with Jeff Goldblum playing, like, the cynical, like, DEA prosecutor.
Yeah, yeah.
Who, like, "Well, I find it highly irregular." And he's a recurring character who keeps coming, but it's always, I'll tell you in a minute, but he comes up again. Basically, in the end, Adam Sandler wins custody of this place, but in the entire torture he's still got the hat on and he keeps shooting his guns halfway through. "Mr. Sandler, will you stop?" Sorry, Mr. Gilmore, it's Happy Gilmore, will you stop?
They think he's Clark.
Yeah. No, they don't. No, because
he's
honest.
He isn't Clark.
He's honest in the end, but he still turns up to court and everyone, and like the women like, his wife's there.
Yeah.
Captain Cluck's wife, and she's disgusted.
Mr. Clucky.
Lady Bill Cluck.
That's brilliant.
And then the rest of the series is quite a grim look at how he manages this chicken farm, and it turns out they're all kept in really horrible conditions.
Oh no.
And then when the prime, you know, suppliers to McDonald's, and it's all about him trying to change it for the better, but he keeps coming up across a bureaucracy. And
yeah,
like,
yeah, of course.
Oh gee.
And Jeff Goldblum.
And Jeff Goldblum is the hook, because every week he is a different government official who's come to look at it.
Okay,
so the
first week he's
like the health inspector, literally exactly the same, like glasses, same hair, just a different suit and like a different name badge.
Every week.
Same briefcase. He goes, now I've noticed some irregularities.
Yeah, of course.
And every week the episode ends by some kind of chicken escapade.
Yeah.
Orchestrated
by
a hapless Happy Gilmore. And every episode ends with Jeff Goldblum getting like herald. Like, it all ends up fine because Jeff Goldblum gets like herded out of the thing. And
I'll
it goes.
Get you,
yeah. And he goes, well, and every episode ends with Adam Sandler staring at the camera, winking, go, well, thank luck for that.
Oh, yes. Oh, perfect.
Oh,
you
set that up beautifully.
No, you took that so well. That was the correct direction. I was, moments of happy go clucky is basically a man with severe depression gets told by his therapist that he needs a change.
And gets a pet chicken.
And so, no, he leaves his wife, leaves his family, and just goes to live amongst the chickens.
Like as a chicken.
Yeah, exactly. And he learns from them, and they become his best friend.
He starts laying eggs.
And then, and they're in the rainforest or something, right?
Yeah.
And then, deforestation.
Where chickens are from.
And then the big companies try to take down the forest that all the chickens live in, because they're forest chickens,
yeah.
Right? You know, bear with me.
Yeah.
And as the trees come around, he basically becomes like a freedom fighter for the chickens, like kind of guerrilla warfare. And he trains the chickens.
Chick Guevara!
Oh, mate, you see, look at this. It just writes itself. And he basically starts it. And he, of course, is played by Chris Addison. and he leads the chickens in this charge back. And everyone thinks it's very funny because he's actually this quite scrawny British guy who suffers from a severe mental illness.
Actually, he's the most chickeny of us all.
But actually, yeah, he's the real foul.
No harm, no foul.
And the, the second series could be called Foul Play.
Foul Play.
Yeah, okay. So that was, it's definitely Chris Addison. By the way, who plays Cap'n Cluck in
Cap'n Cluck.
Happy Go Clucky.
Cap'n Cluck is played by Brian Blessed doing a really bad Texan accent. Well, who's a nanny here? Whoop, whoop, whoop.
I thought it would be him. All right, okay.
Cool. Looks like I'm going to have to shoot in tarnation. I see who.
Right, hit me with another.
Okay, so I've got a couple left, but I've picked one out, which I think you're gonna.
We can always save them. If people like this bit, we can do another bit of it.
Ring in, send in your own suggestion. Email in your own suggestion, boys and girls.
Oh yeah, that's actually a fantastic. And that wasn't
good.
Even planned.
It wasn't even, not even written down here. As always, it is podshambles@gmail.com
or
at podshambles
on Twitter.
Or
podshambles on Facebook.
On Facebook.
Or what other formats are there?
You can shine the shamble signal in the air and one of us will come to you.
Yeah.
That is a guarantee. You ready?
Okay, alright. What have you got? This better be good.
Bee's Company. Like Three's Company.
Bee's Company!
Bee's Company.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. Okay. Alright. Okay. Right. Okay. Erica B.
Yeah, I like it already.
was a lonely 20-something.
Okay.
Living in Philadelphia.
Is it? And is his or her name? Is it Eric OB? Like, he's
no,
Irish.
It's Erica. It's Erica. But oh no, maybe she should be Irish.
Eric OB.
Eric OB. Eric. But her name is Eric. Okay, so Eric, female Eric.
But it's spelled Eric. It's spelled like E-A-R-I-G-H-T-C.
Yeah. So it's Eric OB. She. All right. So she's from the Emerald Isle, okay. Right? But she moves to Philadelphia because she has a sort of midlife crisis,
okay.
Where she decides she needs to follow a new direction in her life, right?
Played
okay.
by,
what?
Played by.
Oh, Susan Sarandon, but playing someone much younger and unashamedly.
Susan Sarandon can get away with that.
Absolutely. Definitely. So Susan Sarandon, she moves out, right, and she's, you know, so she is then living in Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
where she is trying to start a new business, right?
Wonder what that might be.
Bee's Company, okay? Right. And the business, okay, is in flowers, right?
Okay.
She wants to start a big floristry business. It's like a mail deliver thing. Like, you can order them and they can get sent to people's houses or dressing rooms or whatever, you know, people buy flowers for.
Yeah.
Okay, so
just surprising.
So it's called Bee's Company. And maybe it's called, like, Flora Fusions, okay?
Okay, well, shouldn't it be called, like, you know...
Oh, no, it should be, like, Emerald Isle Flowers.
Or, like, yeah, like Emerald Isle Flowers.
It should be called... Wow, okay, it should be called...
Par Flowers.
It should be called, like Clover, or, like...
Or maybe, like,
an Irish rose. What's the equivalent of an English rose in Ireland? An Irish tulip, a thistle. An Irish thistle.
I don't know. I don't know any Irish flowers. Giant's Causeway.
Giant's.
Maybe it should be like.
It should be called
the wind. The wind that blows the barley or something, like a really grim
shamrock. It would be like
shamrock around the clock.
Shamrock around the clock. There you fucking go. And she's selling flowers, right? Okay. And it is very much bees. Eric company. Will be. Okay. And the flower business isn't going so well.
No, of course not.
Isn't going so well because she keeps getting robbed.
What about all the bees dying?
No. You're jumping ahead.
Oh, sorry. Miles. Sorry.
Okay. So it's not going well.
Okay.
Because she keeps getting robbed. Okay. By people, you know, like just thieves.
Peeps.
Who want flowers.
Philly.
And they come in and they take flowers. And flowers are fucking expensive.
Yeah, right.
And she, you know, maybe they're like another company or something like that. And then she sits there at night and cries a lot. Okay. And every night she's just crying and she's weeping. And
I don't know how I'll keep up all the bees.
Yeah. And so Susan Sarandon is in floods, right?
Yeah.
But, okay, she copes with it. Her coping mechanism is she talks to the flowers.
Okay.
Okay. And she's talking to the flowers every night. She tells them all of her problems. Like, I wish you'd stop getting robbed so. And all this kind of stuff. And then, one day, a little bee flies out of a daffodil that she's been talking to.
Yeah.
And he lands on her ear, and she doesn't fear bees.
No.
She's a florist.
Who would
he lands on her ear and goes, well, Felicity, what was her name?
Eric.
Well, Eric, I have a proposition for you. And she goes, a proposition, do you say? Right, and the bee turns out to be part of, like, a bee mafia.
Ah.
Like a cartel. Okay.
Well, Eric, I've got a proposition for you.
Otherwise known as the company.
Oh, nice.
Okay, because
Bee's Company. Oh, Bee's Company.
And it's Bee's Company.
And it's Bee's Company as well.
Bee's Company. But also, it's the Bee's Company who are based in Bee's Company.
Nice.
I mean, it is fucking great Bee-ception. Already. And they basically say...
Who's this played by?
The voice of the bee is Danny DeVito. The first bee.
Surely! Eric, listen!
Listen.
Rumham!
Rumham! So basically, he tells her... that if she starts buying, like, particular types of flowers... because bees know the most about flowers. They go and, like, scope them out, right? And they bring the pollen back. And she just has to make sure that she looks after the flowers that they pollinate. And then they grow so that the bees can keep spreading and having more bee babies.
I'm really sorry. All I can see is Danny DeVito's babies. Danny DeVito's head on a bee body.
It's a head on a bee body.
Hey!
And he's got glasses on.
The same guy with the same mad hair.
Yeah, exactly. So she starts by... And in return, like, the bees basically stop pollinating all of the other suppliers for the other flower shops.
She runs like a bee protection racket.
Exactly. And all the people that keep robbing her just get stung to death.
Oh my god, that's terrific.
Bees just fucking swarm them. And she can never be blamed for it.
What do the bees get from it?
And she starts building apiaries and all this kind of shit.
Great use of apiary.
It's a lovely word, isn't it? What do the bees get from it? The bees get all the flowers that they want.
I see.
And they're allowed to live in her shop.
She goes like... And they can, like, request special, like, illegal flowers and
exactly.
stuff.
And she maybe to make drugs.
Yeah. Oh, so
like,
poppies.
So she's also sort of starting, you know, like an opiate trade with the bees. And the bees are dealing the drugs.
Yeah.
They carry the little bags.
And their little sacks on their legs.
Their leg sacks, and they're taking drugs to everyone, right? And all the other flower companies have gone bust, and no one goes, why? And they go,
Do you know what you should have? I'm really sorry to interrupt this. There should be a supporting character, which is the drug mule. Sanchez, the drug mule, who turns out just to be a mule who carries drugs for them.
Oh fuck yeah! And all the animals.
And all the bees. How he does it is he has to. All the bees who carry the drugs go up his bum, and stay in his bum while he goes on the transatlantic ferry.
And
who plays that mule is the other question.
Eddie Murphy.
You can't do that. Not every single donkey in any comedy ever.
Mike Myers.
Okay.
No, but basically, here's the other thing.
Okay.
Yeah, there's all these mules. So all these other animals talking. Mm-hmm. Maybe she can talk to animals. That's one of the main things. Right?
Maybe the bees tell her how to.
Yeah. And she's, you're never alone at Bees Company, right? Because of all the animals.
Because
she
speaks
they
the
think
animals.
She is alone, and they think she's still severely depressed or whatever it was that I originally said. But the other thing is that there's a twist at the end of season 2, right? And she's saying, like, we'll have to stop worrying about the otters. We'll have to stop worrying about them. Like, because all of the other companies are starting to go bust. Turns out she hasn't been saying others. She doesn't want the other companies. She's been saying otters.
Oh, wow.
Right, okay. But no one was able to tell. Because we were talking about the otters.
She's got
otters.
An Irish brew.
And it's also, it's the same thing that I noticed in Irish, is that the words era, era, and error are exactly the fucking same.
What are those three words?
Era, like E-I-R-E, like Ireland, oh, yeah. Right? And then error, the thing that you air clothes on. Right? And then error, as in,
I mean, they
an error
sound...
in judgment.
Yeah, okay, okay.
Anyway, so
and
yeah.
Aryan,
and then
course.
The otters come into it in season three or whatever it is, and like, and basically it's just jam-packed cast.
Are they like the Russian mafia?
No, the otters are played entirely by the cast of the TV show Recess. And they all have the same names.
So, Mikey.
Yeah, like Mikey, Vince.
TJ. TJ?
Greta, TJ.
TJ.
TJ Detweiler.
Gretchen.
Spinelli.
Spinelli. Mrs.
Gus.
Finster.
Gus.
Mrs. Finster.
Oh, Mrs. Finster.
Hockey King.
Randall.
The Hockey King.
Oh, the Hockey King. Oh, the, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, fuck, that was great. So the Diggers. You know, they'll all be there.
Okay.
And then we get to enjoy Recess again. Because of Bee's Company.
Okay, I can't... I'm going to have to discount the Recess bit from it because you've just lifted that. Otherwise, great.
Okay, great.
Otherwise, great.
All right.
What's my final
thought? What was your
thought
for Bee's Company?
My thought for Bee's Company... I can't actually remember. It was mostly because our good friend Abby has a little kitten called Bee.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking it would be like a really adorable kind of kids sitcom about how...
Like Animal Hospital.
Yeah. No, how she runs like a little business of kind of... But it ends up being a front. It was quite similar, a front for catnip trade.
Okay.
And she's actually a big... And like she comes home every day and Abby's found... Oh, look at you, Bee. Little.
And she's called Abby.
Oh, exactly. Right. Yeah. Even better. Oh, point away. This cat is called Bee because his full name is Beaker.
Yeah.
Which I thought you'd appreciate because she squeaks like Beaker.
That.
She's fucking wonderful. I went to visit her while you were visiting your brother.
Oh, fine. Seeing other
Much
women now,
better.
Are we?
Yeah, that cat is sexy as shit.
Wouldn't it be amazing if I revealed now that I was a woman? And you already knew, and everyone just assumed because of my voice that I was a man. No one ever seen me.
Well, that'd be a whoa, that'd be one in the, you know, that'd be a very good...
That'd be a twist.
That'd be a very good twist. Sadly, not true. As mentioned before, yeah. You know, we both got dicks.
Yeah.
And we use them a lot.
Fair enough. Right, I'm going to give
What's
you
my line of one? Okay.
Right, your final one for today. I think you're going to like this
okay.
one. A lot of these have been out
okay.
of the so far. Okay.
Okay.
Goose lips.
Goose lips sink ships.
Goose lips sink ships.
Goose lips.
Oh well,
sink I mean that's basically been written for me.
Yeah.
So similar again to a story we've covered before.
All of the stories are becoming
no.
one story.
Okay, so I mean practically writes itself.
I mean it totally does. That's the thing.
So Captain James Marlin.
I love how you've already got the title.
Yeah,
you've already got the name.
Oh yeah, so he's played by Rupert Everett. Okay.
Oh, lovely.
But like
okay.
a slightly, not quite fat suited, but you know, slightly made up to look a bit old and gouty.
Okay. Yeah.
And
yeah.
he is
curmudgeonly.
Yeah, he's a captain on a small cruiser set in World War II, obviously.
Lovely.
And they are stationed somewhere near Norway, somewhere that's not seeing a lot of action. You know, they're sat on this ship.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And he's there because he had an exemplary service record in World War I. He fought the Afghan. Oh yeah. And he's been given this quite nice little shufty.
Okay.
And he's very posh. He's very gouty. And he misses terribly his wife, Maribel, who's, you know...
Who died.
Of consumption. In the 1940s. and as a result, his ship is also staffed by relative newbies,
mm-hmm.
Who I think are cadets in the Navy.
Okay.
I don't know. And, you know, he keeps a fairly tight ship, but they have a bit of a laugh. And, you know, they have gin and poker night once a month.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, it's all kept pretty above board. But
bridge.
Bridge.
On the bridge. Bloody hell, what an idea!
His world is shattered one day.
Mm-hmm.
His world is shattered when an American transfer, who's a lieutenant rather than a lieutenant,
okay.
as we say,
nice.
played by Ryan Gosling,
oh.
turns up. And he's
oh,
this
nice.
beautiful man. He's a war hero, sir. I fought in a lot of wars. He's not done anything. He's like 22.
Right, okay. But he thinks he's fucking Captain Rogers.
And he's like this sexy man, and he is, of course, Lieutenant Goose.
Okay.
Is only what he's known as.
Yeah.
And he's
Brilliant.
A complete Lothario. Mm. He, like, encourages badness, all the other cadets. Like, hey, guys, why don't we just go out and get a beer? You're in the middle
okay.
of the ocean,
yeah,
but he takes off all the dinghies and
they
go.
He's a maverick.
You've hit the nail on the head, Paddy. He is a loose cannon. He is
like a
loose goose
oh.
on this boost. And basically... The storyline centres on them just trying to survive the war. And it's a bit grim, but, you know, people die every week, but it's okay.
Yeah.
But the one running moment of consternation is the fact that Lieutenant Goose finds out that Captain Marlin has a very delightful young daughter.
Oh,
played
hello.
By Karen Gillan. course. From Doctor Who. Who's Scottish, inexplicably, sure.
Yeah.
And basically, he sees a photo, goes, "Wow, Captain, what a gal you got in there. You got to give me her number."
He doesn't know.
"Goose, you may not in any circumstances speak to my daughter."
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the setup. That's the setup in season one. They come home from war, okay?
Oh, they're home from war. Okay,
That's only like maybe the first two episodes. Okay. You know, it's kind of quite quickly dealt with.
Like The Wire.
Yeah. Yeah, swiftly dealt with, like The Wire. Captain Marlowe gets home and he's very tired. He puts his hat up. And then his lovely daughter's there and welcoming her. Oh, Daddy, hello. I'm so glad you're home. And then he goes, "Daddy, I've got some news for you." This is very heavily based, by the way, on Cuckoo, if you've ever seen that.
Right, okay.
And he goes, "Daddy, I've met someone wonderful. And who should it be?" But Captain Bloody Goose. Oh. He's bloody turned up.
What?
And his glasses. Pipe falls out. And basically he comes straight in and kisses the daughter.
Goose!
Right. Normal setting, right?
Right.
Normal setting. Until...
Yeah.
Until a tear in the space-time continuum...
Shit.
...hurtles them forward into... the Cold War, right? They go forward into 1965. They're back near Norway on a boat. And somehow it's all explained, but he's a captain again.
Shit.
And maybe there's not a discrepancy. Maybe they just age. But still, I think it should be funnier. And they're back on the boat. The dad, Captain Marlin, his daughter, and Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, Goose.
And basically the rest of the series is them trying to kind of regain their sanity in this new world. And he's the captain. He goes, "Well, fire all the flak cannons." And they go, "Sir, we don't have any flak cannons. We're all on pulsars now." I don't know what they had.
Like in the Cold War.
Yeah. "We're all on nukes. We've got nukes coming out of our ass." Mm. And Ryan Gosling keeps fucking up because he keeps kissing the daughter and not firing the guns like he should do. So.
Brilliant.
And then the ship sinks and they all die.
Oh, so he sinks the ship. I thought you were going to go down the path of Wild Goose Chase.
Maybe he has
to chase him through time.
Oh, that would have been really good.
Because he runs away with his daughter.
I'm not going to lie, mate. I really ran out of steam on that one. I thought it was a great idea to start with. It's a great title.
I think you really went for it. Yours is much more down to earth than what my interpretation of Goose Lips sinks.
There's a surprise.
So mine is set in a Japanese village. In the run-up to Pearl Harbor.
Oh, wow.
Okay, right. And basically, there's about a farmer who's called Shinji, right? And he lives in this, and for his whole life, he has farmed geese. That is his job.
I'm so surprised you said that with a straight face.
That is his place in the world, and he finds peace in that, and he loves that. And their entire community is based around this goose farm.
Mm.
Okay, and then... In the run-up to the events of Pearl Harbor, when Japan enters the war, right, like, troops, basically, that conscription comes in, and people start getting taken away from the farm.
Right. Yeah.
The goose and the goose farm starts to fail, okay? And, like, he's losing all of his men, but this guy's too old to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all getting taken away. And he has to work out a plan as to how to get the goose industry back into the books. Okay. So he goes to high command, and he...
I know where this is going.
He's a scientist as well. It doesn't mention that, but you find that out later, that he was a scientist in his younger days.
But he had to pack it in because he killed his wife.
Yeah, no, because he had a duty to his village to become a goose farmer, despite the fact that he's actually a very good chemist.
Oh,
okay.
Brilliant.
He starts custom genetically breeding geese.
I think you have to be a biologist for that, rather than a chemist.
He's a biologist. Right? But the chemistry comes into it.
Yeah, sure.
He starts custom breeding and genetically splicing geese.
I think I know where this is going.
So that their beaks are the hardest alloy
diamond
known to man.
Beaks.
Like, yeah, basically, even stronger than diamond. Like, adamantium beaks, right? Like, that's what he's doing.
He makes the Weapon X program in Japan.
This is it. He starts doing that, and he basically, through his son, who gets conscripted into the army, he gets a meeting with the Japanese high command. Right. Yeah. Exactly. And
who's playing Shinji?
Shinji Kagawa, former Manchester United.
Cool. And who's playing the son? What, Naruto? Jesus.
His son is played by the guy.
You had to think of a Japanese actor, and you came up with Shinji Kagawa.
So his
son, that's how acting works.
Inexplicably played by Joel McHale. Right.
There, would you light it up?
Yes, exactly.
He starts texting.
Joel McHale. He gets sent. He's in the army. He gets his dad a meeting with high command. And his dad proposes this idea that they somehow weaponize the geese.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, the idea is they're going to somehow propel these geese into the American ships to sink them. And they decide that you can't pilot geese. And the geese, because of all the shit that's been done to their beaks and the alloy, their brains are now very small. And the geese can no longer learn.
So they're loose geese.
Which is what he was working on before. These are least geese. You know. And
least geese.
Least geese. And so, basically, he ends up as a four-figure at the front of the war.
Right. Because
he comes up with the idea of building these planes that are shaped like geese that have this alloy on the front of them that can pierce through the armor of the hull of a ship.
Yes.
And then he he causes Pearl Harbor.
Oh my god.
Right. Okay. And then it's a gritty war drama and he kills himself. And meanwhile, but meanwhile,
with a goose.
But that's the stabs himself with a goose.
Hoisted by my own petard.
People keep dying, and they have these holes in them, and they leave a beak like on there. Maybe the geese. No, the geese who are unhappy that are now being bred for warfare. No, the goose village who is now thriving because they have so much business because these geese. They realize they've lost their core values. They've lost everything geese that made farming. Them geese farmers.
Their gooey goose egg center.
So yeah, that's the thing. They start That's it. The geese farmers, who aren't this guy, because this guy's gone rogue by this point. He's at high command, whatever. Mm. The geese farmers start killing people with geese. Untraceable, right? Because the alloy's so good, can't be traced. Yeah, exactly.
On.
It just looks like someone stabbed them with a sword, but there are never any prints. There's only ever feathers.
I think that's pretty fucking obvious.
And then it's about in the aftermath of Pearl Harbor, the Japanese government working out that it's actually this one village responsible for all the murders of like every Japanese troop. It was chaos. Like they're just killing everyone.
That's really dark. So what? The Japanese end up saying, "Oh, well, we." Now and then Hiroshima and Nagasaki happened.
Yeah, exactly. And that, if anything, was caused by him. And it all comes back to this lowly goose who was a goose with a dream.
I mean, that's weird, man.
But it does mean goose lips because of their beaks.
Yeah. And sink ships. You don't need to spit out that I was pretty
goose.
Goose.
I'm very happy with this as an idea. Fucking would be one
fucking goose.
Well, I got them Christmas blues, cause my baby ain't got me no Christmas shoes. No Christmas shoes. Them shoes was a present from my goddaughter. She sold them to buy some Christmas booze, and now she drunk. She's so drunk, I want a Christmas up inside of you, woman.
That's not okay, mate. You
not
can't do
in reference
that.
To the daughter. It was in reference that got really weird, really clear. I got the blues, yeah.
Incoming transmission from the good people over at Haribo.
Do you want?
What would I like?
No.
What?
Would you like?
What?
Banana chocolate.
Banana choco flakes.
Vanilla choco balls.
Van choc bow. Like Rochambeau, but vanilla choc balls. Van choc bow. Fly me to the yogurt. Australia.
Right. What ideas have we got?
I'm doing some distance sound checks. I'm doing some sound checks over distance.
Why are you doing more?
I was recording the whole time. And here we are, eating on your...
Having crunchy corner break.
I mean,
got Vin Chocbo.
I got Van Chocbo. What'd you get?
Beflak.
Beflak. I'd say Banflak.
You would.
Captain Banflak, will you take me to the bridge?
He's already saying...
Take me to the bridge. Give me man.
It's when Bruce Banner finally gets with Ben Affleck, and as a celebrity couple, they're known as Banflak.
Bruce Banner?
Yeah.
Why would he meet Ben Affleck?
Where would you mean, where would he meet?
Wouldn't he
meet...
The
Gamma Lab.
Gamma Lab.
Next to the Gamma Land.
Captain... Next to the Gamma Land. What are you talking about?
Next to the Gamma Hand.
About Gamma Lands.
Well, yeah, and I told you that they're an ensemble rather than an instrument.
I'm still sure that a Gamma Land's an instrument.
I mean, you're still wrong.
We're going to look it up after this.
Listen, mate. I did GCSE music, and it's not very good for an awful lot of things, but it did tell me what Indian gamelan was.
I'm talking about the Indonesian
gamelan. That's what I meant. What do you mean?
I caught you out. Oh, you think they're all the same, don't you?
Oh, yeah, Google it now.
Google it now. Oh, can we do that whilst recording?
Obviously.
Get the tap.
What do you
tap.
Think happens? It
tap,
goes
tap tapping.
No, I've gone.
Of tiny keys.
Right, I'm prepared to be wrong.
If we had children that were keys.
Ah, suck it!
Come on, there's a
Gamelan's traditional ensemble music of Java and Bali in Indonesia, made up predominantly of percussive instruments.
Okay, hang on.
Metallophones and hand-played drums called kendang.
Okay, hang on. Maybe I'm thinking of...
No, maybe you're just wrong.
Instruments. What did I play?
No, you didn't.
I didn't.
You didn't play any of those.
No, I went...
Don't try and make up a story. When I was in Indonesia, they got me on a kendang.
I've never been to Indonesia.
Cultural context. It's never say, Paddy Jervis is the prime player.
I'm not a cultural, four-figure of gamelan. But when I was applying for uni, one of the unis I applied for was Kingston to do music.
Kingston.
And they were like, oh, you should check out, you could learn gamelan. And then they showed me one of these, a bonang.
Yes.
But I assumed that was a gamelan.
And you've been working on that false assumption all these years.
You thought it was from India, mate. I'm just saying.
No, that's just a slip of the tongue.
A slip of the Freud, more like. Slip of the gamelan.
Look, not everything.
What does gamelan sound like to you? Does it sound like. I don't know. Mother dick. Oh, God.
My Christ, buddy. We need to get you in a bath immediately. Sir,
I need to finish this yogurt.
Don't forget, it's not just Christmas at this time of year.
There's Hanukkah and Susan's birthday. Happy birthday, Susan!
Happy birthday, Susan, from all at Podshambles HQ.
Don't Christmas kill yourself!
Oh, God.
I made it dark.
Yeah.
Watch out! It's the quiz flipperoo!
I am so excited about this quiz. Okay, are you ready?
Feel like this is a redundant quiz because I feel like you're gonna. You know your attitude to bananas, as I've said.
I love bananas. Okay, if anything, I'm bananas for bananas.
Well, it's funny, Kylie, because this question, the first question is, hey there! Would you like a banana? They're so yummy!
Yeah, they are!
Are you bananas for bananas?
Hopefully the quiz will determine it.
If this was an actual quiz show on like ITV, that would be brilliant.
And then one of the contestants is always a chimp.
Yeah.
And of course he's bananas for bananas.
And he always wins every time.
And he's got all the eggs putting them in his whoop, whoop, whoop.
Okay, number one. Your favourite type of split?
Can I guess one of the answers?
Okay.
Is banana one of the answers?
I mean, why don't you just wait and see?
Okay,
Hajduk split might be one of them. I mean, the famous Croatian football team. Number one, an amicable split.
Oh, like a relationship.
Yeah, exactly. Number two, a gymnastic split. Whoa.
Whoa, can't do
flexible.
That. I used to be able to do splits.
Number three, bananas.
Split. Bananas.
Okay. Are you sure?
Yes.
But what about an amicable split from a girl with the answer?
Can I find a friend?
Okay. Hello? What do you want? Hello? Is it banana? Banana? Hello? Banana? No.
Bananas, that's definitely the way forward.
Yeah, that guy knew what he was talking about. Okay. Question two.
He's calling back. Hang on, I'm just going to hang up.
No.
He's gone.
Hello? Banana? What? Banana? Who's it? Who? Banana? Banana? Bye! No.
That made me really laugh.
And
I'm sorry.
Quite finished. Question two. You grab a piece of fruit from the fruit bowl, and out comes.
Grapes!
A. An apple.
An apple way.
B. Banana. C. Grapes. D. A lovely lemon. Why would you have a lemon in a fruit bowl?
Can
I
say that?
Eat it.
That's not a lemon.
Is it not?
That's a grapefruit or an orange.
No. It could be an orange, yeah.
You know how a lemon's shaped like a lemon?
Oh, fuck you. But that's like, it's got like a weird little nipple on top of it.
That's the stalk.
Yeah, but I wasn't really looking at it properly. It could have been a lemon. All right. Some kind of citrus fruit. Or a lovely shapely pear.
You know, I'm very much a grab and go kind of guy.
Okay.
I love grapes. Don't get me wrong, but
grapes are an evening time. If you try and grab grapes, you're just going to smush them all.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you're gonna have wine all over your
hands. Why the fuck would I do that? Yeah. I mean, I think I'm going to go with banana.
Sure?
Yeah, I think
they're quite handy.
Or pear. Actually, you know what I do? I take two bananas.
Yeah,
a pair of bananas.
Double banana, one for the bum, one for the face.
Fuck off.
Okay, question three. What would you do with an overripe banana?
Okay.
There are only two options, okay?
Okay,
the nuclear option is just toss it. Does that mean like toss it off or just toss it?
Throw it away?
Yeah, throw it away. Or the second one is make banana bread.
I mean, I have to be honest here, I've never made banana bread. I love banana bread.
Would you get someone else to make you banana bread, maybe we should say?
I would get you to make me banana bread.
Okay.
Or I'd ask you.
Fair enough.
And you, I'd you probably wouldn't do it. Zach would do it.
No, Zach would do it.
Zach's really good at
it. Number four. Excellent question coming up. Okay. What is your favourite Mario Kart item?
Oh, wow.
Is it A, superstar, B, triple banana, C, green shell, or 4, banana peel?
I like the skill involved in the green shell.
Yeah, I hate to boast, I'm a dab hand with green
shell. I know you are, I know you are. That's like because people used to think of them as just a waste. No, but man. You know what, a green shell can be twice as effective. You can
bounce them really well.
Exactly, you can start throwing shapes, you know, all that. But one green shell isn't quite worth 3 bananas because you can throw the bananas.
Superstar?
You can throw the bananas for. Yeah, but it's like getting the hammer in Smash Brothers. It's like, oh well, it's just like, oh, you're invincible. Like, oh great. Whereas like I much prefer the skill involved in throwing the bananas forward, because if you're behind someone and you throw a banana in front of them
and you get them on the
and then they go yeah. and they spin off, it is fucking great.
Okay.
And then you get in front of them and drop another one on them.
Trip ban. Okay. What is your favourite treat at an amusement park? Is it A, cotton candy, which is candy floss to you and me? Is it B, a turkey leg? This is so American.
A turkey leg?
Who goes to a theme park and buys a turkey leg?
Well, you know what? It is Christmas. Snack.
Or D, C, even, chocolate-dipped frozen bananas from the banana stand.
I've never had one, definitely. I love, but don't get me wrong, but I love candy floss. I don't.
It's literally sugar. It's fluffed up sugar. You get the same thing from eating candy floss as you would just by eating 3 tablespoons of sugar.
Yeah, but something about candy floss makes
Yeah, but it's also like £8.
Well, yeah, but that's...
Buy a bag of sugar and be happy. Okay. Well, anyway, frozen bananas. Okay, this is just... True or false? Okay. Bananas boost libido. They certainly boost mine, because when I see a banana, I get an incredible urge to fuck it.
Oh my God!
It's Christmas!
It's Christmas!
I've been drinking the port. I'm all horny. It's all Christmas. Oh, all watch God, out.
You're like a...
Watch little... out, Santa Claus, because I've got a big old banana for you.
Larry Leper.
Larry Leper.
Yeah, with all his parts falling off, and he's still going for it. Bananas boost libido. Yeah, why not? Of course they can. Yeah, of course. It's a banana, right?
Question 7. Bananas make you happy, true
yes,
or false?
Yes, true.
We found that's definitely true so far. Okay, question 8. This shit is bananas.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
That's the first option, is B-A-N-A-N-E-S, or just three question marks, which I think is...
Ooh? Well, I mean, it's... Everyone knows that this shit is bananas, and then they all know how to spell bananas.
Okay, get result.
All right.
Okay, are you ready?
Okay, what's my answer?
Caddy, you are... I can't believe this. You are 100% bananas for bananas.
Yes!
You are, in fact, it suggests, loco for bananas. Which is less impactful.
Yeah, exactly.
100% bananas for bananas. And there's a lovely photo of a young lady who is wearing a hat made of bananas with 2 little banana phones. I was like, if you look up Cray Cray for bananas, you'd be the top banana.
Cray Cray?
Yeah, crazy. It's one of those newfangled street terms for crazy.
Oh.
Crazy. Cray Cray.
I don't think I like it.
All right, yeah, but you would be the top banana.
I like bananas.
Well, have a... Banana-rific Christmas, you lot.
Oh.
Banana you, banana.
And a happy banana year.
Banana.
But hey.
Banana. Banana.
Have a banana.
Banana.
Spoiler alert, Kaiser Soze. Spoiler alert, Dumbledore dies. Spoiler alert, life isn't worth it. Why not end it all now?
Oh, mate, spoilers? Oh,
I'm sorry.
I have to kill myself now.
Oh, I should shut my mouth shut.
Shit. Well, now, listeners, we've got a special little Christmas treat for you, haven't we, Paddy? Yeah. A little speck of Christmas crack to send you on your way.
Little guitar, having a little sexy time.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, listen.
Oh, Christmas!
It's my grunge Christmas.
I don't think grunge is very Christmas.
She left me in the summer. Because it was not Christmas.
Well, it's funny because some people do hate Christmas, don't they, right? And some people love it. We love a bit of Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you and I have always been champions on it. Not like chosen.
We have championed
we
Christmas.
We have championed Christmas. We're not the chosen champions.
I am the Christmas champion, chosen by fate.
The gates are open.
for Christmas.
That's the Lord of the Arena.
Nice.
Sorry.
Hearthstone gag.
Hearthstone gag.
We talk about it a lot, though, and we agree, right? The best ever Christmas there ever was.
Oh, man, I know exactly. It's 1998.
1998, of
Christmas,
course.
1998.
Because, of course, Star Wars Episode 1, Phantom Menace was released in 1999, and that was... Yeah,
wank. Oh man, it was that was the turning point. Was it was the day that the music died.
So the day that, you know, our childhood innocence was lost, and you know, we opened up to the fact that nothing's sacred, not even bloody Christmas.
Oh, and there's like it showed us that our childhood memories and all those things that we hold dear could be dredged up and sexed up and shoved back in our tiny little faces in order to sell more Christmas shit.
That's horrible.
Oh, man, I know, it's just fucking
Christmas,
much like Christmas nowadays. Hello.
Well, I mean, God, look at that bloody shit. Sainsbury's advert. Oh, that's a contemporary,
little contemporary, nice topical.
You know, with the lad using World War One just to sell more fucking puddings.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I mean, look at Jar Jar. Look at what they did with Jar Jar.
I'd rather not look at Jar Jar.
Man, I fucking hate Jar Jar.
Fleshy face.
It's just shameless manipulation and it's emotional blackmail. Neatly concealed in adverts that are kind of dressed up to look like art.
A horrible little streak of poo in your Christmas pud.
Yeah, so we want to end this shambles year with a little shambles treat for you. Which is,
it's all about the two sides of the Christmas coin.
It's all about two sides of the coin. This is a little song for you guys and it's called Nothing Is Sacred. Isn't Christmas bloody lovely? The winter moon glistens on the pale white snow. Children's laughter echoes softly through the tinsel timbers of my family home.
And a distraction from the darkness, from the 9 to 5 or the rise of UKIP. But we'll keep reveling regardless. We can worry about the world after January 5th.
Isn't Christmas fucking awesome?
Yeah!
Up as an elf and I'll drink till I'm sick.
I'm so motherfucking happy. I'll eat a whole goose and I'll rip off my dick.
Never mind that they might privatise our healthcare, cause grandma's sleeping in the armchair. She might be awake, she's not all there. She might be dead, but we don't really care.
Cause Christmas is a balance between light and shade. It's a disappointing jumper and a wealth parade. And Dad gets racist, but even that's okay, cause apparently that's something that comes with age.
We forgive and forget at this time of year, overlook things that we once held dear. The shameless adverts, ridiculous cheer, suddenly the hatred begins to clear. And what would it take me to convince you that for every sin there is an equal virtue?
And for every dark side there's a light that breaks through. And for every Jar Jar there's an Ewok or two.
I mean, remember the fight between Yoda and Dooku.
And the breathtaking beauty of the planet of Naboo.
And remember the trust between Qui-Gon and Windu.
And C-3PO and R2-D2. Even robots can love
in paradise.
Robots can love in a galaxy far, far away.
In a galaxy for you and me.
Christmas me.
The Force Awakens. In cinemas, December 18th, 2015.
Book now to avoid disappointment.
Hopefully. Because they wouldn't do it twice.
They fucking better not.
Merry Christmas,
Shamblers!
Merry Christmas, Shamblers. Thank you for another excellent year.
We
will actually see you sooner than our last Christmas.
We won't be an 8-month break. We've got some really exciting stuff. Choose Your Own Adventure is coming back with a fucking vengeance.
Oh, yeah. It's
going to
be savage. We're going to be telling you all about our new housemate. That's very, very exciting. Alan Rickman might drop in.
He might pop on.
Kermit might return.
Oh, good.
Engine Room Phil is already sharpening his hooves.
And
which
his
have been
knives.
Blunted from kicking himself so much. By accident, because of his tumour. Oh, God. And what else have we got? Oh, and all kinds of things.
Christmas!
You'll see a YouTube channel. How many times have we said that?
Merry ones for you.
Have a good
yours.
One. Oh, no. Oh, I'm back.
Oh, fuck.
Grump and George went on a tiny little adventure to Toilet Town. Oh, what did they find at Toilet Town?
Toilets!
Yes, you were correct.
Another toilets!
Yeah, but also...
More toilets!
No. Big. Strangely enough, they found the corpse of Jessica Tandy. Long dead.
No.
Theatre Grand Arm.
You can't keep bringing her back from the dead. Both that joke and Jessica Tandy.
All right, fine.
You've turned it downtown. The mic is lower than before. Down volume. Periscopes can go down to trousers down. Everything's looking up for you.
Boy, this is gonna be the best Chris Dingle I ever did make.
That accent was somewhere between...
You know, Wild Golly Gee!
Shush.